Fellow Truth Attack fans, David Allen Carmichael standing in for Tom Cryer on this Truth Attack Hour. Find out more about Tom Cryer and his Truth Attack at truthattack.org. The phone number here is 888, toll-free, 888-850-1872. Virginia, again, a court has determined that trying to mandate that every person in the boundaries of the physical geographical boundaries of the United States or within their jurisdiction, dictional reach, essentially, might be imposed upon them to purchase health insurance. At least that's the way it was argued in the United States Court in Virginia, Eastern District of Virginia. Reading the health care bill, doesn't use the word every United States citizen. That's the way it was argued in the court, of course. It says every American, for all Americans. Now, the things that they cited, it was essentially a, if you read it, it's just an expansion of a optional federal welfare program, federal welfare benefit program, or federal old age retirement survivors benefit program, Medicaid. Medicaid is optional. Nobody's required to purchase or participate in Medicaid. But what's happening is, in the Ponzi scheme, is there's no money. Now, luckily, these guys who came up with this crazy idea and has been spending the funds, a quote-unquote trust fund, they won't be going to jail. That's because we've been asleep at the helm. We've been a captain of a ship. We, the people of the United States, have been a captain of a ship asleep at the helm. They were arguing in court in Virginia as if this thing was actually written to all Americans and if or anybody within this jurisdictional reach, geographical reach of the United States, that it would impose on them this mandate to participate in an insurance scheme or have a penalty. Basically, the threat is that you're going to pay a penalty. And it appears that they avoided a particular congressional challenge about their taxing authority by calling it a penalty under the Commerce Clause. Now, there's got to be a scheme behind trying to get this whole thing through under the Commerce Clause. And I think it's because if you can progressively advance the control, the clutches of Congress to every aspect of every person's life in America, that means also, by implication, all those illicit relationships they have with foreign entities by treaty or otherwise, some strange executive department policy implementation. And how could you do that? How could you get the executive department to implement something that was decided upon overseas? Well, by making sure that people on these particular committees who are making all these decisions, kind of by fiat, not by law, but just giving them unbridled discretion to determine what they're going to do with this welfare program, this health and welfare program, you can have people from overseas influencing these decisions. And basically, they can advance this global government, and it would just, they would have the authority just sweep in and tell you everything that you need to do with your life and your property. So I think that is ultimately the scheme here. I think that's ultimately the motive. They're going to be in trouble if the United States Supreme Court, or in this case, it's just the United States courts, determines you have no authority under the Constitution to do that. Thank you for having a wonderful motive, such a moral imperative, absolutely. Or at least you know, through demagoguery, may have published through the media that this was just a moral imperative that you were obligated to perform. Nevertheless, you don't have the authority. The people of the United States have not lent you the authority to behave that way. Now, I know I'm going to kind of, I'm skipping a couple of things here, but there's something I want you to think about. And I had never really thought about, I think I've read McCulloch versus Maryland here and there. But there was something that I read today that was kind of a maxim in law that has come about since McCulloch versus Maryland. Now, let me see what this says here. And it's something that John Marshall said that I just totally disagree with. In fact, if you've heard me broadcast on this show or my show that comes on Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m. on this Frank Talk 104.3 FM station, you'll hear me say that you cannot have a just ends without a just means. That's my maxim of law. You cannot have a just ends without a just means. Why would you throw at evidence that was obtained unlawfully? Okay, so it was obtained unlawfully. Let them sue them. You know, let's create a statute where they can sue somebody for money if they obtain evidence unlawfully or something like that. You know, no, what happens is the evidence gets thrown out because the purpose of bringing somebody to court is to execute justice. And what kind of justice? God's justice. The Bible says that the government is supposed to be a minister of God for our good. In fact, the founders of this country understood that to be so, and that it's appointed man wants to die, then the judgment. So they put boundaries on the government. Because they knew if a government is going to be an instrument of God, it has to be just. It has to be perfect. It has to fulfill an insanely high standard. And if not, don't let it put its paws under the color of acting for justice. If it's corrupt means, the corrupt ends are inevitable. So it'd be better to not prosecute, because eventually it's appointed man wants to die, then the judgment. So I've connected those dots. That's my maxim in law, that you cannot have a just ends without a just means. But let's see what John Marshall said. Let's just see what the judge in Virginia said. Because an individual's personal decision to purchase or decline to purchase health insurance from a private provider is beyond the historical reach of the Commerce Clause, the necessary and proper clause does not provide a safe sanctuary. Referring to the necessary and proper clause, this clause grants Congress broad authority to pass laws in furtherance of its constitutionally enumerated powers. This authority may only be constitutionally deployed when tethered to a lawful exercise of an enumerated power. Now, that I agree that to be true. Normally, what I do is I take a case and I open it up in a PDF file and then highlight things. And what happened is when I got this off the government website, I couldn't do that. So I'm having to go through here. But essentially, let me summarize, since I can't find it, what McCulloch versus Maryland says. What essentially is said, oh, it's on page 19, I'll get to it, is it said, let the ends be just. And here I'm not reading from it, I'm just doing it from memory. But it says, let the ends be just. And then whatever means are, you use the word appropriate. As long as the means are appropriate and you have a constitutional end, then it's okay to do. And some people say the end justifies the means. That's sort of a short way of referring to the thing that John Marshall was saying. I say you cannot get a just ends unless your means are just. Now, okay, here we go, Chief John Marshall. I found this on page 19 of this ruling in Virginia today. Let the end be legitimate. Let it be within, I agree with that. Let it be within the scope of the Constitution. Now step back a little bit. The word legitimate in law means something. It's not just a general term. There's legitimate ends of government, and there is compelling ends of government. And they have a different standard to what kind of evidence you're going to scrutinize when the government intrudes upon somebody's, say, religion or other, you know, constitutional right or something. John Marshall said, let the end be legitimate and let it be within the scope of the Constitution. Now, this is where you got to be careful. And all means which are appropriate, now define appropriate, right? And all means which are appropriate, which are plainly adapted to that end, which are not prohibited. Ah, now there's a good caveat, which are not prohibited, but consistent with the letter and spirit of the Constitution, are constitutional. If you deconstruct the statement by John Marshall, let me read it again. Let the end be legitimate. Let it be within the scope of the Constitution. And all means which are appropriate, which are plainly adapted to the end, which are not prohibited, but consistent with the letter and spirit of the Constitution, are constitutional. Some would just say, oh, I've got a legitimate end, so anything I can do, the end justifies the means. I will say that Chief Justice John Marshall qualified his statement with a little caveat here. It's got to be appropriate. It's got to be not prohibited. And it's got to be consistent with the letter and spirit of the Constitution. In other words, you have to apply scrutiny to make sure that it is legitimately a just end to obtain a just means. It's not merely a moral imperative that justifies your behavior. Today, in this pandemic of dementia that's sweeping North America, we don't understand this. We kind of feel, oh, that's not fair. It's not fair. I think it's a good cause. It's a good end. So why don't we just do it? We're going to come back tomorrow or the next day. We're going to be playing some clips from Margaret Thatcher when somebody was complaining about, do you realize that after your session here in the parliament that the gap between the rich and the poor is greater than it was before? And she responded by saying, yes, it is. Isn't that amazing? Because not only have the poor benefited with our policies, the rich have even benefited. See, in truth, the poor were richer. Consequently, or just, hey, providentially, the rich happened to be richer too. But the guy was complaining. He wasn't celebrating that the poor became richer. He was complaining that the gap had widened. But we've got a moral imperative to nail the gap. And she responded and said, oh, you would rather the poor be poorer as long as we close the gap. You're sick. So what's happened is we succumbed to the pandemic of dementia. Even Bobby D, before I came on the air, he was talking about the Communist Manifesto. What you're seeing with this health care bill, with the slow progression, initially Social Security, then Medicare, Medicaid, and it all looks real good. It's got a moral imperative to take care of people. It's not the government's job to exercise love. It's not the government's job to exercise religion. And what is in the Bible, it says religion, true religion, is to take care of the widows and the orphans in their trouble. So really, it's your job and my job as an exercise of religion to love our God, love God and love our neighbor as ourself. There's implied, at least, even in that, and expressly stated in the book of James, is to take care of the widow and the orphan. That's our job. One of the things that, you know, if a man treats his wife as if she's a widow, he abandons her, then we have a responsibility to hold our brother accountable to maintain his common law obligations, or obligations that are common in law. But it's really our responsibility individually to love God and love our neighbor as ourselves. Give, and it will be given unto to you. And do it in faith, believing that God is and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him and do what he says. And then we'll stand back and watch some serious divine intervention. But what's happened is we've created a God with our own hands in this welfare benefit system, and it's only going to bring us to destruction. It's a natural consequence of us in a vicious, depraved, and degenerate state of mind. Come back tomorrow, Truth Attack. I'll be standing in for Tom Cryer at Truth Attack Hour. Check out Tom Cryer and his work at truthattack.org, David Allen Carmichael. And you can check out my information at faithfreedoms.org and tune in Frank Talk 104.3 FM tomorrow at 5 o'clock to get more.